From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Our next guest is Asha Gobbi. He's the founder and CEO of Konnaku, Inc. I spoke with Asha at the Future in Review Conference in October of this year. Konnaku, headquartered in San Rafael, California, is combining living cells with electronic circuits to create wet chips that they believe will one day outperform what either biology or a machine could do on its own. The first applications will be for devices that sense airborne chemicals. Asha, welcome to Cool Science Radio. Tell us about yourself, because you have a really quite a background.
I am originally from Nigeria. I went to Switzerland to study for my master's, my PhD, which I dropped out of. I have worked in robotics, I have worked in artificial intelligence, I have worked in synthetic biology, and now I have a company in Silicon Valley that essentially builds cyborgs. We're building the next generation computing platform that marry biological neurons, brain cells, or other cell types with silicon technology. Okay. A system that can go out into the real world, collect its own data, analyze it, and make sense of it.
Excellent. And the name of the company is Konnaku.
Konnaku, yes.
Okay. And how long have you been a company?
We've been around now for about 4 years.
Okay.
August was our fourth year anniversary.
And what are some of your biggest challenges?
Just first off, getting people comfortable with the idea that there is a company that actually builds cyborgs that always raises eyebrows. But we've been able to show that the value that we can deliver from this is remarkable. It's groundbreaking. So think of a future where you have our devices in every home, and you wake up in the morning, you breathe on this device, and this device is able to tell you the state of your health. It's able to tell you the state of your gut health, your microbiome, for instance. It's able to tell you the state of your liver, the state of your heart. It's able to tell if you have cancer just by your breath alone. That's because every time you breathe, you're actually breathing out a ton of data. Right. A ton of data from your blood. So your breath goes around your body, or the blood goes around your body. And in the lungs, it's exchanged. And all the volatile organic compounds, or all the smells, all the chemical compounds in your blood, they are channeled through your lungs. It comes out from your nose. And this is data. This is data that, until now, we haven't had technology that can analyze it, right? At least not on a portable scale, the size, the footprint of half a smartphone. And our vision is to have such a device in every home, and really make an impact, not in terms of diagnosing disease, but in managing health.
Right.
We want to keep people in top shape and top form, because it's a fundamental human right, I believe.
Yes. And interestingly, you cannot smell disease, but indirectly you can smell the byproducts of disease.
Correct.
And that's the analysis that
exactly.
You're able to perform.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's just fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there any big questions you have out there that if you get them answered, you'll really be able to push this technology forward?
Absolutely. The biggest thing, surprisingly, is actually building a business case about it, building a business case around us, and showing that these devices coming into the real world, the distance is not so far.
Right.
The underlying technologies, all the pieces are there. So our company is sitting on the shoulders of giants, really. This is work that is based on decades of research, right? So first off, how do you grow cells in large quantities? Well, it turns out that the pharma industry has solved a lot of problems in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
How do you modify cells with DNA? Again, the pharma industry and the academia has solved a lot of problems in this.
Right.
How do you interface these devices with silicon? Well, you can have commodity FPGAs or commodity processor that are able to essentially analyze all those signals. So bringing all of that together has been a challenge, but it's a technical challenge. Now, that product market fit, making sure that our device is able to fit in the market in a sensible way, that we're able to deploy the same devices that we're deploying here in the United States, deploy the same thing to Africa, deploy the same thing to Europe, deploy the same thing to China, and be able to extract value out of that. That has been, for me, a very interesting journey. The technology piece is something I've been embedded in the last 17 years, give or take. I understand how that process works, and we understand the details of how to build a product, how to scale that. But building that for the new age of privacy,
right.
The new age of making sure that people get value from what we build and the next generation consumer, that's what we're looking at building a great feed for today.
And culturally, you want people to be not only interested in their own health, but their own care.
Exactly.
So they need to take responsibility.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
Is that culturally a hurdle, or there are so many elements being introduced and people starting to do their own care that maybe things are changing?
We want to give people agency. All right, that's what it comes down to. We want to give them agency or choice, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think for such a device to build that consumer engagement when we get to that stage of shipping to every home, I think that's going to be a challenge. I think that's going to be a key thing. But when you're asking somebody to make a big cultural shift, that's usually a big problem,
yes.
Right? The key thing is to help them make small changes
right.
that are barely noticeable. Mm-hmm. But the combination of a lot of those small changes leads to massive outcomes. For example, imagine if you had our technology in everybody's homes,
okay.
right? And last night you had chips, right? And you go into the bathroom the next morning and our system tells you, okay, I don't think you should have so much chips. Maybe you want to cut it down by
right.
only a little bit, right? And then the next day, we're able to do the same thing. Can you cut it down only a little bit? Or today, you've earned yourself a lot of points. You can have a little bit more, right? And you continue such a process. I think the outcomes cumulatively, I think the outcomes from such a scenario will be phenomenal.
Yeah, and small changes are easy to make.
Exactly, exactly.
And also when the evidence is presented to you, because
exactly.
the evidence has not been presented before, but
exactly.
when it is presented to you real time,
exactly.
6 or 7 hours after you had that meal,
exactly.
or had that extra couple of glasses of wine,
yes.
that maybe it's not in your best interest
exactly.
and you should cut back a little bit.
Exactly.
This is real time information. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
You should have that extra glass of wine, just so that we're clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, the thing is, it's a behavior thing.
Right.
I completely agree with that. It's an agency thing. Yes, it's also showing, giving people actionable data. So if I tell you, oh, if you have one glass of wine too many, that's not really. It's not. I don't think it's that useful. But if I tell you. If you have this extra glass of wine, these are the consequences.
Right.
But importantly, this is what you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can give people not just the information on what they are ingesting, but also information about what they can do to mitigate
right.
it, but in a way that is not to honor some people.
Yeah.
Right? And so for us, that's that combination. We want to build a product that, okay, this is the data, this is the outcome, this is what you can do about it. And I think that last piece of what you can do about it, it's really important. And making sure behaviorally that is designed in such a way that makes sense, that is not to honor us on the people that are going to use our devices. Our company is an early stage company. We are in the very early stages of doing this, but these are things that we're already thinking about, how to drive that customer or consumer engagement. Where we are right now as a company is that we're building a lot of enterprise solutions. So we have a lot of enterprise companies that are our customers. We've been around for about 4 years.
Right.
We have done contracts and revenues of nearly $20 million. And all of our clients, they are enterprise-based. So with that enterprise engine, we are building cheaper devices. We are bringing down the cost of those devices. And for us, we are looking forward to getting into that consumer space very soon. But it's something that we're really thinking about, how to drive that consumer engagement.
And how are you financed? Are you venture capital financed?
Yes, we are venture-backed.
Yes,
right now we're actually in the midst of closing out our Series A round.
Okay.
And immediately after that, we will open up for our Series B round, and we'll see how that goes. So we're very excited about it, but as you can imagine, we need all the help we can get, and we need as many visionary people at the table as possible.
Well, this is a good spot to be for visionary people.
I completely agree.
Tell me what the conference means to you and the types of people that you've met.
So I actually came by this conference through Berit. I met Berit several years ago.
Yes.
And she's invited me a couple of occasions to come here, and I am very happy that I'm finally able to make it here. I feel like I have missed out on a lot. not being here earlier. But what I like most about this conference is the intimate setting, that you meet people, and it's not just the relationship doesn't come across as transactional. You really build very deep relationships over the last days I've been here, just sitting down with people over dinner and having a deep conversation with them about values and the kind of impact you want to make in the world. For me, that's very exciting. I think it's great to deliver returns to shareholders. I think that's primary. I think it's great to build product. I think it's great to scale. But I think values are also important in the kind of world we want to see and how we empower people to essentially go out there and chase their own happiness. And I think the health of mind and body is fundamental. And that is something that has resonated with everybody I've met here, from Larry to I had dinner with Tyler, one of the mini Larrys, as she calls herself, in terms of how data is used to better people's health. And just across the board, I've met visionary people, but also people with real, genuine values, genuine values that they care in how we're able to deliver things to people that need them.
There's a tremendous amount of information that's disseminated on the main stage.
Exactly.
But there's also a lot going on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
And over a cup of coffee, or over lunch, or over a walk down by the water.
Exactly.
The collaboration, the contacts, and everyone has some common goals that they want to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
And the intimacy that you mentioned over a four-day period in the opportunity to be able to sit down with someone and get to know them, when the conference is over, if this is your first conference, which I believe it is, when the conference is over, you will stay in touch with those people.
Exactly.
And you will look forward to seeing them next year.
Exactly.
And there's lots of different ways we can go. If you have a HR type series of questions or challenges, if you have a finance question, a particular technical question, there's lots of ways that you can get some help.
Absolutely. And that is why I feel like I'm looking forward already to being here next year and reconnecting with these people, and even before then.
Yeah.
Right? And when they come around the Bay Area, they can come visit us and see what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of competition for people in Silicon Valley. And what sort of people you're looking for? Are you able to get what you need?
That is such an important question, because that's where we are today.
Okay.
Right? So we're looking to fill about 30 positions in the next 6 months or less, right?
Yeah.
No pressures. And it's been a challenge. I am not going to kid about this. It's really been a challenge just to find the pool of applicants, if you will. But we're making some progress, and through networks like this, we're able to reach out to people and find out getting access to who we need. The on the soft side of things, so when it comes to HR, when it comes to product marketing, or that part is relatively easier. But on the technical side, on the STEM side, we've had a little bit of challenge there. So what we have done is reach out beyond Silicon Valley, right? Actually, in our company right now, not a lot of people, as in the entire Bay Area, not a lot of people actually come from California.
Okay.
We have people from Minnesota, we have people from Florida, we have people from Arkansas, we have people from SoCal, right?
And they're working remotely.
They all have to move.
Oh, they all have to move
to California. Because we're not at that stage yet where a lot of our work is distributed, but I think over the next years that will be the case. But we spread our tentacles across the whole of America and across the world, if you will, and to find these talents wherever we need them.
I'm from Boston, and we have a strong technical community there. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated to find out I moved to Utah 8 years ago, but the base and the sophistication of people in the Salt Lake City, Park City area, that we have this group called Silicon Slopes. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of Silicon Valley in the mountains.
And there are
a lot of people you can draw from. So if you're ever interested in investigating the types of people, you could maybe have a little satellite office, because people do work in remote locations sometimes.
That means I'm going to send you the batch of hires that we're doing now.
And I'm going to fill them for you.
Oh, that's great. Thanks. You see, this is what the conference is about, right?
It is. Yeah, awesome. It is. It absolutely is. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows, wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.